This morning, as I was searching the heart of the Lord, he started last night pressing a couple of buttons. And when he does that, I usually try to connect the dots, and he finally said, no, go to bed. So obviously, I obeyed. So this morning, I wanted to go a little deeper, and all I kept hearing is the seven spirits. And pressuring me to recognize Jesus when he went into that water and John the Baptist was ready to baptize him, they had an argument. Isn't that typical of cousins, right?
That's right.
An argument. No, I don't want to do this. The other one, no, you have to do this. Can you just see the family squabble? And so I said, Lord, how come John didn't want to? And he said it was because of high awareness of who Jesus was. And Jesus was there for an example.
Yes.
He didn't need to be baptized in a sense. But John didn't want to do it. John wanted the baptism that Jesus had to give, but the timing was off.
Yes.
The timing was off. And you know, when you realize, I'm sure these two had probably many conversations about his release from the heavens, and of course, Jesus' release from the heavens.
Yes.
And when you are aware of your spiritual reality, which you see when you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, very clearly, I knew you before you were born. I knew you before you entered this realm. Do you know that the average Christian just pushes that away? They don't want to believe that they had existence with the Father when creation was made of all the spirits. They don't even want to develop their spirit. It's too much work. And when you realize that you are a spirit being living in an earth suit, then you get a clue that his plan is unfolding, because what he's deposited in you has increments to come into this realm. A timeline to come into this realm.
Amen.
When you're in the middle of a battle, he's with you in that battle.
Yes.
But if you don't cry out to him, you're on your own. And you know you're going to fail, because again, you'll go around the mountain. Because he's trying to break you from something.
Right. Amen.
He's trying to awaken you into something. Now, a few months ago, I shared with you about the spirit of counsel and might. And I was pressured by the Lord to realize that the spirit of self-control is part of the spirit of might, power,
yes,
ability.
Amen.
And so I shared with you guys that I began to cry out for that spirit of self-control to go deeper, along with the spirit of might, which would adjust my thinking, adjust my reactions, and I would be depending on his abilities rather than my own.
Amen.
Just like the child, I can do this myself. I know how to make toast.
That's right.
You know, leave me alone. My great-granddaughter educated her grandmother this week. She's 8 years old, okay? Her sister, her big sister, got a cell phone at 10 years old. So now she's ready because she's 8. So her big sister said, no, you're going to have to wait until you're 10, just like me. So she looks at her grandmother and she says, well, I cooked my own egg this morning. I made my own toast. I made my breakfast. That qualifies me for a cell phone. So get a clue. She's got it figured out. Just a little bit, like 2 years ahead.
Yeah.
Okay? Doesn't that sound like you and me?
It does. Amen.
Okay? You know, it comes very naturally to demand my rights. In reality, Adam demanded his rights. The only thing is, he bought a package of trouble and sin.
Amen.
But he didn't consider it. He had his eyes on the woman. Oh, she's so gorgeous. Oh, no big deal. I can consume this, and we can do this together.
Right.
What a failure.
Yes.
What deception.
Yes.
At what cost?
Amen.
You know, it says Eve was deceived. There's no place that it says Adam was deceived. Adam went into that agreement with the enemy with full knowledge of what he was doing. He was not fooled. He made a clear choice and betrayed the Creator.
Amen. Yep.
Jesus came to make all this into a miracle by his choice. But in order to be able to put himself in the place where he would be accepted as the Most High Son, the Holy Spirit had to be in full play in him.
Amen.
It had to be. So those seven spirits without limits were in him. He also said, because of what he did on that tree, we have all those seven spirits available to us if we choose to humble ourselves.
Amen.
Most of the time, we can come out with the thoughts, I can do this. Me and so-and-so can do this. We can agree in prayer and get what results we want. The only problem is, it's me doing my thing like Adam did his. So this morning, he brought me to Luke chapter 4. I want to stress two things. This is right after his baptism, right? First verse, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. So Holy Spirit led him into the desert. Has he ever brought you and me in the desert?
Yes.
Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Oh, what a marvelous experience. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, should have a circle around it there. Okay? You see, did the devil hear what the Father said when Jesus was being baptized?
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, we don't realize that he's listening. Okay? He's conscious of what Papa has said to you. And Papa's trying to build you back up. Satan is trying to make you question what you have received. Because every time there's a download that you and I receive, there's going to be a season of temptation. He's going to try to rob it, distort it, make it of no value.
Amen.
If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus said, answered, it is written. Now, why does Jesus have to say it is written?
For us.
Ah, truth. Yeah. It is written, man does not live on bread alone. Wow. You know, did the enemy know that Jesus was hungry?
Yes.
Absolutely. Because again, the temptation is according to what the feelings are in our Savior. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Does that include 2021?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He saw it all. He said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. Was he lying?
No.
No. And I can give it to anyone I want to. The only problem is he's a liar. I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be all yours. Here's a question I have for you. Did Adam worship Satan?
Yes, he did.
Chances are yes. Because of the temptation.
Right.
Because he's part of that requirement. Satan is looking for worship.
Right.
While you were worshiping the Lord this morning, do you think that old Scratch isn't going to try to say, oh boy, can I really pull some of this on me? You're absolutely right.
Yes. Amen.
The pattern is set. Verse 8, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil left him, led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, again the if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. So now watch the enemy with his response from the scripture. He will command his angels concerning you. Is that true? Yes. Okay. To guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Is that all true?
Yes.
Yeah, but now look at the word that Jesus responds. It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
That's right.
You see, if you are pushing God to act on your behalf, is that what Papa intended with that scripture?
No.
No. And do we have a tendency to demand our rights?
Yeah,
we do. You said, the only problem is, if it's under an anointing of pride and Leviathan's going to get glorified, you know that's wrong.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
Verse 13. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now, I hadn't noticed that for quite a while. But if you fast forward to the crucifixion, the guy who's really pushing his buttons is the other crook. Because there's two thieves on the cross. One is righteous, crying out for mercy. And the other one says, if you are the Son of God, take us off this cross. It's the same demon. Using a different mouth. Okay?
Amen.
So he had this opportune time just before his end. And he used it. So, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. In what? That's the spirit of might. The power of the Spirit, not the power of his flesh. Does that describe where we are when we avoid crying out for the seven spirits to help us and empower us to do what we can't do? Yoo-hoo. Did you catch it? All right. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in every synagogue, and everyone praised him. Why? Because it had never been done on earth before. It had never been done through anyone before to this degree. Because the seven spirits were all in operation inside of Jesus without measure. Wow. Now, if you look at back in Jeremiah chapter 1, the Spirit was on him, but it was in a limited capacity to prophesy. If you look at Moses, it was on him to limit him as a leader. He was anointed like Jesus, but not to the same degree. Okay? So now let's kind of take a peek here. He went to Nazareth, 16, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Okay, watch again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Sounds good, right? Yeah. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Amen. The recovery of sight for the blind. Hallelujah. To release the oppressed. Yes, the oppressed are those that are being oppressed by darkness. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and it shuts down right there. Why did he stop? Because that was as part of his commission. Now let's go to Isaiah 61 and take a peek at what the Lord skipped. Okay? In Isaiah's prophecy, 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And it stops right there when you're looking at Luke 3:19. How about the rest of this prophecy? Could it be that we're in line for that part to be established in the earth now that the body of Christ is growing up? Could it be that he's waiting for a corporate Jesus to finish this prophetic word? And the day of vengeance of our God. Who would want to avenge what has been done in the earth? How many demons were worshipped at the time of our Lord throughout the earth when he looked at all the kingdoms of the earth? Most of them, in fact, I should say, all of them were in idolatry. The only country that was worshiping the Lord to a degree was Israel. And the Jews had been chosen to receive that message. Okay? Watch that verse again. The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Doesn't that kind of fit what's been happening throughout the earth since last spring and last winter. The whole earth is crying out because they're in despair. They don't know how to function. They've lost their freedom. They're being bound by all kinds of laws and rules and attempts. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Does that sound like the church? It should be. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. Who's in the process of reestablishing what's been going on in the Middle East? They will rebuild the ancient ruins. I can tell you that if it wasn't for many people throughout the earth contributing to the Jews and what they're attempting to do, a lot of it would not be done. And to restore the places long devastated. How many years was Israel devastated? 2,000 years. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. You notice how it fits about our time? Because it's been generations that that country was torn to pieces. It was the home of malaria in the 1800s. Aliens will shepherd your flock. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. Now do you get it? Jesus came so that we could become priests and kings. According to 1 Peter. And according to the book of Hebrews. You will be named ministers of our God. Aren't you the qualified ones to be ministering to the north, south, east, and west? You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in the riches you will boast. Doesn't that sound like the same thing that happened to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt? They came out with the gold of Egypt. The only thing is, they made themselves a nice calf. You know, I mean, Aaron really just put it in the fire and out it came. Yeah, right. I know. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offsprings among the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Is that your church? As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprouts come up, and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Why? Because Israel is going to be visible throughout the rest of the nations as the one who is crowned with the gifts of heaven, and he's going to use the church. And there are churches in Israel that are now starting to blossom. Helpfully and hopefully they will continue to be supported by us, the Gentiles. We're the Gentile church. They will be the Jewish church, if you wish.
Yeah.
But God has told us that he wanted us to acknowledge the celebrations of the feasts. He told us to celebrate with the Jew, not to leave them out. Okay? Had a conversation this week with Chrissy that came last week for the first time. And one of the things that the Lord did is when she walked in, she felt at home. Because she saw the menorah. She saw quite a few other items that represented something that she was a part of when she was a young woman. She was actually working for a Jewish group, and they were involved in sharing the Torah. So that was her beginning of the Word of God. And she said, now I understand why I felt comfortable. Because she had questioned the Lord. Well, how come Christians don't celebrate the feasts? Because she was aware, she worked there for a while. I don't know all the details. But we talked this week. And she shared again, you know, how that was such an answer to prayer for her. And that's what we want. We want people to be aware that, yes, the feasts are a little odd, at least when I started, for me, because again, my mindsets were from religious background. Holy Spirit is not from religious background. Holy Spirit has a commission from Papa to restore, to rebuild what he had. And that's the purpose of this New Year's celebration this coming Tuesday night, so that we will take time to be observing what God orchestrated, not what man has created in order to fit the other pieces to the puzzle. Amen. So what I want you to do is I want you to just lift your hands to him and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Give me clarity.
Give me clarity.
As to what you're doing now.
As to what you are doing now.
What you did in the earth 2,000 years ago.
What you did in the earth 2,000 years ago.
Is awesome indeed.
Is awesome indeed.
But now you're about to clothe us.
But now you're about to clothe us.
With garments of salvation.
With garments of salvation.
To array us in robes of righteousness.
To array us in robes of righteousness.
And as a bridegroom adorns his head.
And as a bridegroom adorns his head.
Like a priest.
Like a priest.
And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
For as the soil makes the sprouts come up.
For as the soil makes the sprouts come up.
And a garden causes seeds to grow.
And the garden causes seeds to grow.
So the sovereign Lord will make righteousness.
So the sovereign Lord will make righteousness
and
praise
spring up before all the nations.
Spring up before all the nations.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's going to make the church alive.
It's going to make the church alive.
It's been dormant long enough.
It's been dormant long enough.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
And my spirit.
And my spirit.
Need all seven spirits.
Need all seven spirits.
The Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Is upon me.
Is upon me.
The Spirit of knowledge.
The Spirit of knowledge.
The Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
The Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
The Spirit of counsel.
The Spirit of counsel.
The Spirit of might.
The Spirit of might.
The Spirit of wisdom.
The Spirit of wisdom.
And the Spirit of understanding.
And the Spirit of understanding.
To come in fullness.
To come in fullness
inside of me.
Inside of me.
Without limits.
Without limits.
You did it for Jesus.
You did it for Jesus.
And I want it to be done for me.
And I want it to be done for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
I'm not going to quit.
I'm not going to quit.
I'm going to accomplish.
I am going to accomplish.
Everything you prepared for me.
Everything that you prepared for me.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And amen. And.